Blog Talk Radio.
My goodness.
On a specified.
1,000.
Hell plane.
What?
Lieutenant.
No.
Sir. Draw by both. On option.
Yo, you did it, you did it, you did it again. Good job, man. This is DJ Sonic Audi, and this is Taino Radio Straight Up Wednesday night. I'm right here in New York City, Lenny Lenape territory. And wow, what an exciting show tonight. Oh, man. You can feel those vibes. It's going to be a super show today. I can't wait. You know why? Well, before I answer that question, you know what's going to happen.
Hey!
Welcome, everyone. This is Taino Radio, stronger than a buffalo head to toe. Guess what? You thought I forgot, but we got another honoring song. Take it away, Big River Cree. I can't believe this. Every Wednesday night, Indigenous Power Hour show, we got Northern Cree, blessings wherever you are, and also Big River Cree, the jingle dress sidestep, honoring the people. That's right, man. Taino Radio, sponsored by Arayeke Yukayek, Indigenous Caribbean Sovereign Nation, public service to all of you. Check this out. Are you there? Who's there? Indy, 4-1, are you there?
I am, and welcome, relatives. Welcome, relatives of Turtle Island. Thank you for joining us. And, you know, the Indigenous Power Hour activism is dedicated, you know, to our missing and murdered Indigenous relatives, and today Mavis Kirk's remembrance is today, and her cousin Keely Lily has asked me to share that, you know, that they do honor her. She unfortunately is one of those MMIW stories. You know, she was brutally murdered by her boyfriend. And the family, like I said, they come together you know, October, you know, 13th, you know, to honor her. And so, you know, I just wanted to, you know, uphold that and honor her as well. And again, that's in, you know, remembrance of Mavis Kirk. So
wonderful.
Mr. Santa Corey, do you have any current events you want to chit chat about, or, you know, catch our relatives up with, you know, since last week? I mean, because a lot has happened. We just had, you know, the first Indigenous Day. However, I'm not fully impressed because, you know, here it is. It's, you know, how are you supposed to share a day with Columbus? Because they haven't done away with, you know, the Columbus part of it. It is Indigenous Day and Columbus Day, you know?
Well,
so,
I think, well, I don't have any research material to prove my theory, but basically it's safe to say, this is a hunch, okay?
Yeah.
I believe the Italian-American community definitely donates more money to the Democratic and the Republican parties more than Native Americans, so I believe that's the only reason why that Columbus holiday is still around. But one day, not only are we going to reclaim land, but we're going to reclaim the government. How about that one? Wow.
Right.
Then we could definitely take out
theory.
The holiday. Huh?
Do you want to hear my theory?
Reclaim the land.
I think it's the refinement stage, and I think this is white welcoming.
Mm.
You know, that very tacky, trashy, terroristic way that they go about oppressing, you know, those of us of color. I'm not impressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's not
federally recognized, you know, but like you said,
it was a proclamation. It was a proclamation, no, which is recognized as in a federal level. But again, it's
right,
sharing a holiday. Martin Luther King doesn't share a holiday. George Washington doesn't share a holiday. Wait a second. So, but you know what? I'll give it to them. President Biden was the first president in the history of America that did that. So it's, you know, it's a pork bone, you know. So we gotta keep working. All you activists out there, right? We gotta keep working hard.
It would have been nice if he would have signed the Women's Against Violence Act, you know, why he was signing that, because still unsigned. And like I said, you know, that's something he brought back in the 90s, you know, with the crime bill. What are we waiting for? We need
that
reenacted.
Remember I said those donors? Check out the donor list, right? The donors. Who the donors? Who's donating money, I say? I don't know, man. This is tough. Oh, listen, I do want to give a shout out to the volunteers that came out this past Sunday at Indigenous Day Remembrance, the Napi Territory,
yes,
New York City. We were at the base of the Columbus statue, not taking away Indigenous Peoples Day out in Randall's Island. There's a huge event goes on there. But there's still several of us that want to protest that statue. No time to celebrate until that statue comes down and the holiday itself in New York City and New York State, because it's a New York State holiday.
And you know, just a little history, you know, America, as it is known now, was named after Amerigo Vespucci.
Nice name.
Yeah, an Italian navigator. Instead of Columbus, because the queen was embarrassed by the fact that Columbus got caught stealing on his way back. So that's how
got caught.
Came about getting its name.
1500 was sent to Spain as a prisoner. 1500 was put in jail. So yeah, so that was Columbus. But go ahead.
No, that was just my history, my little lesson, you know.
Yeah, you know, the only reason why Columbus got sprung out of jail, because he had connections. But for all those that don't know this, he tried until his death to get 10% of the wealth that was gained by the queen and king of Spain from the Americas, the looting of our people.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't get that 10%. His family actually fought for 50 years after his death to get 10%, and they also failed. So there you go. I don't know if it's bittersweet or what, but, you know, hey, what can you do, man? I don't want to talk bad about the dead, but I don't know. I just hope that we could change this around one day. Maritza Potter out there, Feliciano, if you listen to me, did a great job once again in helping Indigenous Day Remembrance. You know, I was in Puerto Rico a couple of years ago. I almost got my butt kicked by a security guard because I was doing a ceremony by the statue there. So Maritza kept it tight here in New York City, where I went to Puerto Rico many years ago, 2019. And that was a good rush, though. Almost got
like
my butt kicked.
Like the one who rushed you? Like the one who rushed you by the statue?
Oh, yeah. Did you see that video? I was a little scared. I was a little scared. I mean, I think in the video.
I wanted to see if everyone's
coming out. I was outnumbered. It was just me.
I just heard the one guy, you know, the one that was, you know, hollering at you. I was
call me every name in the book.
Right?
But you know what? But you know what's more upsetting for me that day? What, it just wasn't him, because, you know, I expected that, because, you know, the ignorance about the history and our rights as Indigenous peoples. But the activists didn't show up. No one showed up, and that upset me. The next day, no one showed up. I went to San Juan. No one showed up there. It's like, what's going on? Where's this protest? So a lot of education needs to be done, not just the naysayers, but our own people. But look, it's all right. It's catching steam. We got this, man. We got this. We're catching up.
Oh, definitely.
Catching up. So guess what, man? Was that?
Building momentum.
That's it, man. You know, it's never, we don't believe in the white tile. We're just going to keep rolling until it comes back. It's the pendulum, right? It's coming back. It's coming back our way.
Yeah.
But I got a new name for you. Check it out. I have a new name. I've been getting a lot of responses from people in Cuba, Caribbean, Spanish-speaking islands about that. If we can translate the show, and it's going to be hard, but I'm working to produce a show solely in Spanish, and I can review what we say here and this and that. But I do have a new title for you in Taíno.
It's
the Borinquenaiki. It's the Borinquenaiki dialect created by Javier Hernandez, who uses the surviving Taíno words, close to 5,000 words that survived. And the Wayuu is the largest speaking Arawak language in South America. So here it is. You ready?
Yes.
Guaribo epaya. Guaribo epaya. That means my warrior sister. How about that one?
I am honored.
Guariba epaya.
Yes. Yeah.
Warrior sister.
I'm honored. Oh, I got goosebumps. Oh, thank you.
There we go. That's your Taíno radio name right there.
Yay.
With ED41.
Thank you.
That's it. So it says, hermana Carrera. La Carrera, my hermana. Wow, there you go, man, Spanish. So so listen, I have a Aguala. I have a brother who's a young brother from the island. Right now he's living in Toa Baja, in Puerto Rico. I've been there, man. I was there a week. You know that, 4-1, I was there a week. And I almost went crazy because it was a 1 week in the middle of a forest. I was training for wrestling. And I almost went stir crazy, literally, because you're in the middle of a forest. And, wow, it was a
not
testing time
was,
for me.
Right? Not where the bowl was, right?
But bolas, what's that?
The bowl.
Oh,
the
no.
Bowl
that was the next town over in Corozal. That's right. Yeah, you remember that, right? But I got a special guest tonight that I want you to meet. He's a hip-hop Boricua Taino artist. Can you believe that? Hip-hop.
I believe it.
Boricua. He just moved to Puerto Rico, Borinquen, back to the homelands, to start his career and his family, and he went back. He went back. He could have lived anywhere in the United States, but he went back. So, but before
medicine.
I introduce him, that's the medicine, right?
Yeah.
But before I introduce him, I promised this guest that he can have a couple of seconds of spotlight here, okay? Okay,
oh,
entra aquí. Habla. All right. You know, 4-1, I never taught you. In Puerto Rico, there's a tree frog. It's called a coqui. And they make those sounds. Look, check it out. It only exists in Puerto Rico, right? And from the Taino time,
right.
There's petroglyphs of these frogs.
Uh-huh.
And you heard that song? You heard them? That's the original coqui. That's the original coqui hip-hop stars. You know why? Because that's a fertility song. So those are mating songs, and you hear this every single night. That's what you're hearing at night.
How little?
Maybe the size of your half finger. Maybe the size of your half finger.
Are they
bright
green?
What's that?
Are they like a bright green?
Oh, it's kind of brownish, but they have a line that goes across them, like a line, and that's where you see the petroglyphs. You see that line. Kind of cute.
Yeah.
I'll post a photo. When I lived in Puerto Rico, you know, I collect I collect little cars, especially the Hot Wheels. And one morning, I was blessed because one of those coquis jumped right on one of my Hot Wheel trucks. So I'm gonna post that on Taino Radio Facebook page so you can see it.
It was
a blessing. That's a blessing, man. Because those guys and girls, it's hard to see them, you know?
Yeah.
So let me, so his name is Luis Machete Rossi. What's up? Are you there?
Yo, what's good? Yeah, I'm here. I hear you guys loud and clear. Appreciate you guys.
Oh, that's perfect.
I
want to introduce you.
I'm down here with you guys tonight.
Oh, that's good. So this is Guarivo. This is Epaya, Indy 4-1. Please, saw our hostess up today. Why don't you introduce her to her? She's the queen of native hip hop.
Welcome.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
That's awesome.
Let's get into this. Let's you know, tell us about yourself.
Well, yeah, man, I just want to say once again, thank you both for having me on here as a guest. I got a lot of respect for this program and just what you're doing in terms of your work, you know, just, you know, it means a lot to me. I just, like my brother said, I just currently, I'm living on the island right now. I'm back in Bordican, on my ancestral lands with my family, my partner, and my lovely daughter. And yeah, I actually was born and raised in California, in San Bernardino, California. And that's where I pretty much spent the majority of my life. But my family, my roots go deep, you know, deep into the jungles and on the island and also like in the Gulf of Mexico. So yeah, you know, I just recently moved out here and I've just been getting acclimated to the changes, you know, just in terms of like the climate and, you know, just it's where I'm from and is Southern California. So it's a big change in terms of just like vegetation, even, you know, like what you're exposed to. Like, you know, I grew up in the city out there. So gradually I made my way into like the countryside out there. But now being here, it's just been a complete change for me. And it's been great. It's been life changing, to be honest with you. It's been great being here on my ancestral land, and I heard the coquille, like the little clip that he's the little song. I'm here. I can hear them right now. I don't think I'm close enough to you guys can probably hear it, but they're outside going off right now. They're singing their little songs. It's amazing to finally be able to hear it. Yeah.
Oh, that's gotta be, you know, just fulfilling to, you know, to touch, you know, we call Mother Earth Unsi Maka, and so to ground yourself, you know, to really feel, you know, like your home, that's got to be, you know, so fulfilling, you know, and tell us more about it. Tell us, you know.
Absolutely. Well, I just also would like to say thank you to anybody who's tuning in, who might be from California right now. I know I posted the link, so if anybody from back home is listening right now, shout out to you guys. And I also want to do a quick shout out in Espanol. Gracias a todos los que están escuchando ahora en Puerto Rico, República Dominicana, Cuba, México, y todos los demás países. Gracias por tu apoyo, and I just appreciate everybody who's tuning in with me right now. So I basically I just want to say before I even start, like, you know, in no way, shape, or form am I trying to ever represent that I'm like this poised individual that's like, you know, deep with like I a lot of this knowledge like of my indigenous heritage and all of this. And stuff that just kind of recently came to be, you know, in the last 2 years. I mean, in terms of it being like a really strong, having a strong presence in my life. I'm a student, you know, so I just want to let that be known. Like, everything I say is just from my learning point thus far. You know, I still have so much to learn about what it means to be native, you know, a native man in this world. And that's a big reason why I came here, you know. Growing up in California, I grew up in the hood. I'm actually the only one in my family that was born and raised in California. My father was born in the west side of this island, which is San Germán, Puerto Rico. And my mother was born on the Gulf of Mexico in a city called Veracruz. And I'm Taíno. After basically doing a long study, I found out, and I did my DNA testing about 4 years ago, I found out that I was, like, very indigenous. You know, I was always aware of it. You know, like, they always told me, oh, yeah, you know, you got that, you know, blood in you. You got African blood. You know, they always kind of had and Spanish blood as well. It was always, like, this celebration of being mixed, you know, in almost, like, a stereotypical sense. Like, I never had any in-depth information about those mixes or anything, but I was always proud of it. You know, I always was like, yeah, you know, like, I'm proud to be indigenous, like, for what it was, you know, not that I understood it. But when I did my DNA test, I was able to find out that I'm Taino from my maternal side and my paternal side. And I had like uncles who did the test, and you know, their test showed that they were just Taino from Boricin, from this island. But I get the Boricin Taino blood from my father's side, and my mom, it turned out that she was Taino from Quisqueya, which is Dominican Republic, Cuba, which is Cuba, and also Haiti, as well as a little bit of Boricin. That was a big, like, a really big discovery for me. You know, prior to that, I hadn't really, like, known in-depthly what it was, you know. So growing up, my whole life, I grew up in the hood. I grew up in San Bernardino, California. It's, like, pretty much like a, I don't want to say it's like a suburb. It's like a little city that's probably, like, an hour away from L.A., but it's not really, like, known for anything great. Like, they don't have any big events there. There's no, like, real sports teams or anything like that from there. So it was more like a more or less like a city that everybody would pass through, you know. But, yeah, being from there, like, you know, it was kind of rough growing up. I grew up in, like, a little ghetto community, you know. It's this little section called the Waterman Gardens, which was, like, really bad during the time that I was growing up there in the early 90s. You know, it was like a lot of Chicano gangs right there. The Crips and the Bloods were starting to make their presence known, like, all through that area. So I was exposed to a lot of that growing up at a very young age, like, you know, always seeing, like, being exposed to, like, violence, you know, and the street life, you know, at a very young age. But at the same time, always being naive, you know, kind of naive to it as well, like, always just kind of, like, being a kid in this big, you know, this big crazy, like, war zone, but not knowing it, you know, not really, like, thinking of it that way. And so growing up, you know, I spent a lot of time there. I grew up a lot with a lot of my friends in the neighborhoods and surrounding neighborhoods. So, like, the sense of community was kind of always embedded in me, you know, even in those days. Like, you know, we were all, like, low-income families, Section 8 families, so, like, that sense of, like, helping out your neighbor, you know, like trying to make yourself available for your neighbor and all that. That was always strong in those communities, and I'm thankful that, like, I was able to learn that, you know. Like, I wasn't raised in, like, a bougie, like, a community where people are, like, scared to talk to each other, you know, or, like go outside and they don't want to see their neighbors. Like, I loved seeing going and spending time with, like, the older folks, you know, the older heads, we used to call them. But, yeah, like, you know, my family was there and for many years, and, you know, it was crazy because, you know, as I got older, you know, life was really tough out there. You know, it was really hard to hold down a job, you know, and always, I always kind of had, like, I was never really in any gangs or anything, but I always had, like, one foot in and one foot out of the struggle. You know, I was always trying to get a job, always trying to, like, you know, be a productive member of society, but, you know, was always met with, like, colorism, you know, at all the jobs, racism. And being that I was Puerto Rican, and, like, my mom is, so she was born in Mexico, but she's not exactly full Mexican. Like, she, down there in Veracruz, it's like, it's kind of like a whole different world on that side of the country because it's so close to the Caribbean. It's basically, like, the part of Mexico that's, like, facing Cuba. It's, like, right across. So that whole area was, like, a really big, there's, like, a really big port right there. So there's, like, a big mix of cultures, you know, like, from all over Central America and South America, as well as the Caribbean. And so, yeah, like, there was a lot of different cultures there. And my mom's upbringing was really, like, to embrace more of the Caribbean side of that, you know. So she wasn't really, like, I didn't grow up with, like, the Chicano mindset. Neither of my parents had that, you know, that mindset. You know, my dad was from New York. He was from the island, you know, came from the East Coast, and he met my mom on the West Coast, and that's kind of like where they planted their seeds. You know, they kind of, we moved around a lot, but, you know, I ended up being raised out there. And it was crazy, you know. Like, I grew up around a lot of, you know, like, black-on-black crime, brown-on-brown crime, like, you know, just a lot of different stuff that was in the streets that was, like, normal. You know, it seemed normal, but I always knew that there was something that just didn't sit well with me. You know, like, I didn't understand, like, man, why are we over here, like, it became like a turf war. But I'm like, man, we don't, this ain't even like, you know, when opportunities would come for me to join gangs, I would always just think to myself, like, man, I can't. Like, this isn't, I don't have roots here like that. Like, you know, it was like a cognitive thing. Even young, like, I would look at like, nah, man, like, if I'm going to do something like that, I need to be where my families are from. I need to go, you know, it was this weird mindset I had. Like, I just didn't really want to get too involved with it. But, you know, always being exposed to it, always, you know, being around it, you know, eventually you kind of get sucked into it, you know. So that's mm-hmm. kind of like where my story starts. You know, I was growing up, you know, out through high school, getting in a lot of trouble, you know, almost catching cases, almost going to jail and all that stuff. And not always having like those little miracles happen, you know, like it just, you know, I remember one time I got busted and I thought I was going to go to jail. I thought I was going to get locked up for real. And, you know, I had to go to trial and, basically allegedly they said I was doing graffiti and all this stuff. And, you know, I wasn't, you know, they just kind of like, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time and they try to put that on me. And I fought it, and I remember, like, the process of that was crazy. You know, like, it was, like, it traumatized my mom, you know. It was, like, and people in my family had been in and out of jail, in and out of prison. So, like, for me, I was like, man, I got to find another way. You know, I got to be clean. I got to, like, you know, I got to stay out of the craziness, you know, and just maneuver around it. And that's when I got into music. You know, that's when I really started to get into songwriting and, like, you know, I would like express my thoughts and how I would feel about everything just through lyrics. And, you know, sometimes I just like play drums or I learn how to play the bass, you know, like I try to do different things that occupied me in a more positive way. And that's kind of like how everything started with me, like in terms of just being indigenous and all that. Like I ended up through my music, I was able to, like, I met my partner, you know, eventually when I was like in my young 20s, I met my girl, and she's also she's Puerto Rican and Dominican, so she has a lot of Taino roots. And she was in school at the time, and she was writing a paper. She was doing a study about Tainos, and so this was like roughly, I want to say like 2008 when she was doing the study, and I met her like shortly after that. But this was before Martinez, which is like a scholar that's from the island here. This was before he had conducted those DNA tests. You know, like they did a DNA test where they were able to prove that like the Tainos were still like people still carried the blood, and it was very prominent, you know, because prior to that, it was like people were saying we were extinct. It was like a paper genocide and all that. So
right.
I had no idea about really a lot of this, the details of it, but my partner was like invested in it, and she was really like, you know, deeply researching it. And so she was telling me about it. You know, she was like, man, can you believe they would do this? Like, they said our people were extinct, completely, like, just done, like, completely, you know. And she was like, nah, they're doing studies right now that are proving that we're alive, you know, the cultures are alive, that people still are indigenous. And you know, so I was like, what? You know, like, I understood it, but I was always kind of, like, ignorant to it as well, because – you know, my parents like turned away from that indigenous stuff, like, you know, their indigenous ways early on. You know, they grew up in Catholic homes, and like my mom was like converted to be a Christian. So she was like always like a highly spiritual individual, but she in the Christian sense, like she had been converted, you know. So she was like seeing everything in the Christian Christian light, in that essence of spirituality. So yeah, it was like a chain of events that happened. It was really crazy because, you know, looking back now, I know it was like our ancestors, you know, like waking us up through events, through little, you know. But what I had come to find out as I got to know my partner, and as we spent more time together, eventually we moved in with each other. A lot of her friends were indigenous, from the Payomcoish people of Temecula in California. And they were like her friends. They were really like her best friends, that, you know, she spent a lot of time with them and went to their reservation and went to school with them. And so they were like empowering each other, you know, as women, and building each other up and educating each other and, you know, just kind of like working together, you know, and they inspired her to look into her roots, And, yeah, it was crazy. Like, you know, I got to meet them. I know eventually I, you know, as time went on, I met them myself. And, you know, they had partners who were Native. And, you know, we always looked out for each other. You know, they would come to the hood. I remember one time, like, I met one of my he's a good friend, and he's actually, like, more of a mentor to me now. But one of the first times I met them, like, they were actually coming to the projects that we used to live in to help us. Like, they were giving a couch away, like, giving away some furniture. And they came through. Like, they drove all the way from wherever they were to help us, you know. And I remember thinking, like, man, that's dope that they would do that. You know, like, that's cool. Like, that was just community, like, you know, community, like. But they had come over, and, like, I was actually in the middle of an altercation with one of the neighbors, you know what I mean? Like, we had ended up getting into it, and I was all sweaty, and, like, my shirt was all tore up, and I remember just, like snapping out of it and just looking at them, and I just smiled. I was just so happy to see them, you know what I mean? And I was like, man, this is amazing. Like, you guys, I was like, sorry you caught me at a bad time, but you guys are really, really good people, you know, like, and ever since then, like, you know, we built a good relationship, you know. Eventually, to make a long story short, we ended up being invited to live on their lands, you know, to live on, them and some of their tribal members had made a purchase. They were getting their land back, you know what I mean? And they were able to secure, like, some of their land back that was in the area, you know, in Southern California.
Nice.
And, they were, you know, we were fortunate enough to be asked to come be a part of the experience. So it was when I got to that land, like, I had already been doing music, you know, I had already been, like, you know, and I was repping, you know, being Taino a little bit, but not, like, to the full extent of, you know, being, like, truly understanding how to decolonize or decolonization or what that even meant, even on, like, a beginner's level. But when I got to that land, that's when everything changed. Like, my whole life changed. Like, you know, I didn't even realize, like, how out of touch I was with nature, you know, and how out of touch I was with just silence, you know. Like, silence used to mortify me, because I was so busy and always used to, like, you know, people coming and smoking, you know. I used to smoke blunts, like, obsessively all throughout the day with 50 different people in the apartments, and, you know, like, life was always on the go. But here I am in nature, and, you know, I had my daughter. We had just had our daughter, and I'm just out there in the quiet, just, like, I was mortified, you know, in the beginning, you know, just to be honest with you, because I was so out of touch, and I had allowed the poison of colonization to really, like, just be embedded in me, you know, and it was embedded in every part of me. So that part was something that it took a lot of work for me, you know. Like, it really took a lot of, like, I just had to, you know. So my mentor, you know, he was like, cool enough to really invite me out to work with him. You know, we spent a lot of time outside together working on the land, you know, just learning how to take care of the land, learning how to connect with the trees, and learning the needs of the animals that lived there and resided there, the elders, you know. And so there was all these things that I started to learn over time. But the one thing, and just to anybody who's listening to, like, who might be, like, you know, maybe you're in a position like, man, you know, I'm Native, I'm Indigenous, but I don't even know where to start. Like, man, that was me. Like, that's still me, you know, but that was definitely me. Like, I didn't know anything, you know. I felt like, and I would always apologize, you know, like, it was like imposter syndrome was real bad with me. Like, I would always, like, feel bad for everything. You know, I'd be like, yo, I'm sorry I'm not, like, better at doing this. I'm sorry I'm not, like, you know, I always felt like I should have known more, you know. And I remember, like, I would always apologize for stuff, and I would always be, you know, I was going through this cleansing stage, you know. And during this cleansing stage, that's when I started looking up my Taino roots. You know, I started reading the stories of not just Columbus and what I was taught about the paper genocide and, like, the demise of our people, but I was really, really interested in, like, what sacrifices did my ancestors make for me? Like, because they did, you know, they sacrificed themselves and left behind a lot for us, you know. And I was starting to, those things were starting to come to light to me. But right. You know, it was over time. It took a lot of like me sitting down and like really having like real conversations, you know, and realizing a lot of things about myself and you know, nobody's perfect, you know, but when I was on that land, I thought it was very important to acknowledge, you know, to acknowledge where I was and to, you know, to always be aware of things, you know, and you know, that's one thing I was able to learn there was how to acknowledge, you know, especially other people's indigenous land and how to respect it and how to learn from it. And, you know, learning that water is a living thing, you know, learning that air is a living thing. And, you know, like it was all these things that just took me so many months, you know, it took months to like for me to really realize these things and acknowledge it. But, you know, over time I was listening more, you know, I started listening. I would always listen to like beats in my headphones, always distracting myself. And I was like, man, you know, I remember one time like my phone just died and I was just outside without my headphones. And I was like, damn, this is the first time I've just like listened, you know, like just listened to nature. Like, so, you know, those are things that they may seem small to some people, but like to me, they were major for me, like in learning how to meditate and learning, just how to connect with my own ancestors by being on somebody else's ancestral land, you know? And yeah, like I remember, you know, to make a long story short, you know, this is the last thing I'll say real quick is like, I remember like, you know, there was times where I was in the hood, you know, right before my daughter was born, I was jammed up, you know, I was in really bad situations. You know, I was like, I had lost my job and, you know, I try to do things the right way, you know, because, you know, morally, I've always tried to conduct myself in a way that was like mature, you know, like I always wanted to do the right thing, you know, and when I was doing music wasn't really paying the bills. So I was like always trying to work, you know, always doing these different things and hustles. But I remember one time I lost my job and I got jammed up. You know, I was starting to get back into the streets. And I remember like praying, like, you know, I prayed to my ancestors. I remember I was like really desperate, like crying, you know, like, and I remember being in my room and I was like, look, like whoever's listening to me, like, if you get me through this, like, if you get me through this, you help me, like, I promise I'll change. Like, I promise I'm going to do whatever it takes, you know, to be the man that I need to be for my family, you know? And yeah, like I remember when I was on the land, you know, fast forwarding, yeah, it was those encounters. I was having those encounters with my ancestors, like, you know, hey, remember that time, you know, we looked out for you, you know, it's time to change, you know? And that's kind of what it was, you know, I fought it a lot. A lot of my, you know, I resisted it a lot, you know, but I realized it, you know, it was like these little miracles that would happen, these little moments that would be really prominent, you know? And I was like, okay. You know, like, I get it now, you know, like, now, this is really what it is, you know, and, yeah, you know, like, it, that's pretty much, like, how it all started, you know, like, I made myself available to the call, you know, and really started paying attention and, you know, got away from all the mess and all the people that were just there to take advantage of the money and, you know, opportunities and whatever else, and I started surrounding myself around, you know, more native people and just people that had the community element in terms of just trying to help others, you know, instead of cripple them. And yeah, you know, it's I've been pretty much on that type of trajectory ever since, you know, like it changed my music. It changed the way that I felt about myself as a partner, as a father, you know, like, you know, I had a lot of real honest conversations with my partner, you know, as a result of that. And, you know, it just made me realize, like, damn, you know, like my people, like my brother was saying, like a lot of the learning has to come from us, you know, like within, you know, like, because, you know, I came from a family where, like, you know, the divorce rate was super high. You know, everybody was splitting up, people leaving their kids unattended, you know, the youth, like my cousins, you know, we kind of all grew up like on our own. And I was like, I got to break that cycle. You know, I got to go back to being a man that, you know, our people used to be, like, be there for your family, be the provider, you know, be the hunter, the gatherer, but also, like, you know, listen to, because, you know, one thing I learned about our people is like, we were, I forget the word for it, but it's like, not just a patriarch, you know, like we had women that were elected, you know, and led communities and work gasicas.
Patriot.
And yeah, yeah, exactly. And that so I that, you know, going back to that, you know, it kind of like humbled, it really humbled me, like, you know, not just a little bit, like it really kind of made me realize a lot of things, you know, that in cycles, you know, that had just kind of been since the time of Columbus was just kind of like just pushed on us, you know, like that. And then, yeah, you know, like
colonization, that residual
I just went off
that
right there
residual
from my bed,
effect,
like, yeah,
that's, you know, because that's what it is. That they it's the whole loss of identity. And, you know, back then, you know, that paper genocide you're talking about, you know, it was determined by a penny. Them census workers would go around with a penny, and if you were lighter than the penny, you were white. If you were darker than the penny, you were black. So it was a black and white thinking, you know, meant, you know, to make the indigenous invisible. You know, so you're not alone, you know, in everything that you just said. That's the fight of most of us, you know, because of that colonization and its, you know, residual effects. We don't know how to identify. We don't literally have that system that was once in place, you know, with the oral culture that we have to pass those stories along. Because either we are missing relatives, you know, we're missing that part of, you know, what family is, you know, that they tried to destroy, you know, and, you know, for you being, you know, the young warrior, because your spirit is just shining through right now, you know, and you know, that's what it takes. It takes that self actualization, that realization that you have to go out there and get it, you know, because how else are we going to get it? And it requires those teachings of many, you know what I mean? Not just, you know, how are you going to get a complete story if you only have one resource? You know what I'm saying? So you need that added, you know, because those are great details that, you know, help us, you know, be complete. And just like you were saying, that I think a lot of that anxiety that, you know, is amongst us, is never being taught to be comfortable within silence, or just be comfortable with ourselves, you know? And, you know, gratitude for you stepping up, because that is what I feel is a part of the fallen spirit. You know, that, you know, we, with this reclaim, you know, we can say land back, we can say all that, but we gotta get that spirit back, you know, and
right.
Our men need to, as well as our women, we got purpose and we got a job to do. And it's time to remember, you know, and I am just in awe of hearing every, you know, of, you know, just how far you've come, just in your, what you said, you've been back home now 2 years, you know?
No, so I just moved to the island. Well, yeah, yeah, like in that sense, yeah, my bad, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yeah, like, you know, just in the sense of that, being back home, being on the land, like, you know, I just moved back to the island, like, I want to say in the end of August. I've been here, but I, yeah, you know, like, just in general, yeah, going back home to the land, like, you know, being able to make myself available, yeah, it was definitely, yeah, it was, like, probably around 2 years ago, you know. My bad, I think I just misunderstood. But yeah,
Yeah, it's just like total, I mean, from what you described as, you know, that displacement you felt growing up, you know, still kind of a sense of belonging, you know, as far as the community, because, you know, we indigenous are, we created civilization. We created community. We're not the savages,
right.
Like, you know, that we've
hey,
been
who
described.
You call them savage?
You know? No one?
No, I feel you.
You know, but
yeah.
I got some savage in me, believe that, you know. But, you know, we're not that, you know, and we are, you know, we are an example, you know, not made, you know, an example. We are the example. You
there
know?
We go.
We're what others strive to be. That's why they can't stand us, can't stand to see us, they can't stand to hear us, they can't stand our prayers,
mm-hmm.
our drum, you know, and they can't
yeah.
stand our resistance, you know?
You know, I have a quick question. When you negotiated with the ancestors, right, when you asked for help, you were really down and out,
mm-hmm.
right? Was that before you met your partner or after?
It was after. Yeah, it was after.
So you met her after that plea, right?
I met her before. I met her before, but I was still learning. You know, I still had only known so much, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say that they already had answered your prayers long before. They already with you long before when they introduce your partner. I don't know if she's around. I just want to thank her, man, because that's a true warrior, man. She brought a man, a warrior, back to the fold, man. You know, like.
Well, you know, that's our job as women.
She's a perfect example. She got him to the land.
Exactly. Well, our first responsibility, of course, is to Creator. But then our other responsibilities include reminding man who Creator is, leading him, shall he fall astray.
Man.
And then, of course, the guiding of unborn souls. You only get a soul coming through a woman. Woman does not come from man's rib. Man comes from woman.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So,
one of the
know,
first things my partner told me, like one of the first things she told me was like, one of the, and I'll never forget this, but she was like, yeah, Atare, that's the fertility goddess in our culture. She was like, she birthed herself. And I remember just like being like, damn, that's crazy. You know, like I used to trip on stuff like that, but you know, that was you're absolutely right, you know, and honestly, like she was the one that was like she blew my mind, you know, because like she made a lot of changes real fast. You know, we both grew up like, you know, intoxicated.
Damn.
We used to smoke, you know, cigarettes, whatever. She quit smoking like this, quit nicotine. Like she just changed, it seemed like overnight, you know, and I used to look at her and be like, man, how do you do that? You know, how do you just, she was strong, you know, she just. She was a warrior, you know. She really is to this day.
Is she there?
She's still that warrior, you know. And
is she there?
Yeah, she definitely was the strength. You know, she was. I can't.
Wow.
I've been blessed with an incredible partner, and you know, I would do anything for her. You know, like I used to when I used to go working as a fisherman in Alaska. That was my job for a lot of years. You know, I ended up finally getting out of the hood, and we kind of moved around. But you know, she just would write me letters, you know, and stash them in my bag, you know, and just empower me, you know, like I'd have days or, you know, I'd be getting into it with people, and, you know, people were real racist up there. And, you know, it was all this different stuff that you deal with being away from home. And I'd like go to my bag and, you know, I'd open my suitcase and it'd be like some little notes that she was stashing there. And I remember just being like, damn, you know, like I've been blessed, and I got to do anything I can, you know, like I got to do whatever it takes, you know, to make this woman proud, happy,
yeah,
and make her be able to thrive and any return the love, you know.
Jeez, that's powerful.
Is
she around?
Uh-huh. No, she's actually asleep. She went to bed with the little one earlier. Like she came
in
here a little
like
right
greet
before
her.
We started. I was like, I want to sleep.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm gonna pass the message to her. Don't even worry. I'm gonna let her know.
Attitude, yes, and tell
So what's her name? Wait, hold on. What's her name?
Her name is
Joali. All right, Joali. I know you're listening
Joali
to this right now in the future, huh?
Joali.
Yeah.
Her name is what?
Joali.
Joali. All right, Joali, I know you're listening to this in the future. Thank you so much for what you've done. Because, hey, that's wonderful. She gave birth to a warrior male. What do you think about that, 4-1?
That's
straight out of the handbook,
mommy,
right?
Yes, yes. And
straight
and
out
like
the handbook.
Said, yes, and thank you, sisters. You know, thank you for, you know, knowing yourself. And, you know, standing your ground because, you know, the strength of indigenous women, we can bear the weight of the world, you know, but we are nothing without our men, you know, we're nothing without the creator. So, you know, for those who struggle, you know, even homosexuality, that is even one of those residual effects, you know. This is what I know is that Creator gets it right every time. It's our job to stay as close to that original touch, that first touch came from Creator. Before substance, before, you know, anything or anybody else. And that's where we need to strive to return to it, that original touch.
Wow.
We can't even be perfect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you have a song I'm going to play. It's called Tuten, right? Tetong.
Called Tetong.
Yeah, so what's, well, let me play it first so we can feel that energy put into it. And then you can, I know it's in Spanish, you could interpret it, right? You can translate it and what's it about, okay?
Let me give us a little description. Help me
okay
out. I said, how about you give us
Oh, you want the translation first?
No, I want a description. I want a description first. That way I can...
Oh, description.
You
go
know
ahead.
What I mean? I'll be able to pick it up. You know, I listened to it earlier, you know,
mm-hmm,
but just give me a description and then you can do the whole translation afterwards. How's that?
All right, I got you. No problem. Like, so this is the latest song I dropped called Tetun. It's the first song I dropped for this year. And you know, just to give a little intro to the song and like perspective, like the inspiration behind it. So like, I always grew up doing hip hop music, you know, like I grew up listening to like Eazy-E, like West Coast. I listened to a lot of Bone Thugs, a lot of different, like, you know, more commercial and like mainstream, artists, because that's just what I liked when I was younger. And then, of course, like East Coast hip-hop, you know, like Big Pun, Fat Joe, they were like the Puerto Rican artists. But I was always, all my life, I always listened to reggaeton, which is like the music from the island, you know. And there's a particular, like the rhythm in the song that I use, the tempo of it is more particularly, it's called dembow. And dembow is like, it's a very simple pattern. It stems from the drum patterns that the African used, the Africans used when they came to these islands as slaves, you know. But what they would do is they would all connect through the different tempos. So dembow means like there's a translation to it. It means like we are one. You know what I mean? So the reason I decided to go with that rhythm, that specific rhythm, versus like just a stereotypical reggaeton rhythm, you know, is because I wanted to really put an emphasis on how the Taínos and the Africans became one together. Like there was things I was researching where they were like empowering each other at one point, you know, like the bate, like there's this genre here in Puerto Rico called bomba y plena, which is like an African dance where the percussionist plays the drums and the dancer is like sending messages. Basically, that's how they would communicate. The slaves would communicate together. But there was this one song I heard where they were talking about how the Taínos gave them the bate so that they could perform those rituals, you know, so that they could perform that, so they could still have that chance to communicate with each other. And that was powerful to me, you know, like that was really, because the whole emphasis, especially in Dominican Republic and in Puerto Rico, and I'm sure in Cuba too, I'm not too sure, but from what I understand from my partner and me and our discussions and our family's perspective, the Spanish were always the ones that were to be pleased. You know, they were always the ones that everybody wanted. That was the whole point, is like, we don't want you to be indigenous. We want you to be Spanish, you know, like we don't want you to be African, even if you look African, you know what I mean? Like you could clearly be African and they'd still be like, right, Hispanic. And there's literally to this day, there's Dominicans, Puerto Ricans that deal with that complex. Like they'll be African, like clearly, you know, clearly African. And they'll be like, no soy africano, por, you know, like they'll tell you no, you know, they'll just straight up be like. So with this song, Tetun, the reason I chose that rhythm, and there's a section in the song where I shout out the Taínos and I shout out the Africanos, is because, and I say we are Bembao, is because I'm trying to get rid of those stigmas that are in the reggaeton scene and in the Spanish scene, you know, even for the young listeners and like the people that really are into those genres. I wanted it to make it known that like we're together, we're here, you know, it wasn't that the Spanish swallowed us up, we swallowed them, you know. And so that's what the song represents. Tetun, it's like basically me paying homage and tribute to my Taíno ancestors and also like our fallen African ancestors, and just trying to teach the youth to be proud of those parts, you know, try to teach the youth to feel empowered, you know, by being Taíno and being African, because, you know, that's what hasn't been preached in the music, you know, it's been the opposite. So that's the whole song. It sounds like it could be played in a club, but the lyrics are not club lyrics. It's more about,
right,
being proud of your heritage and following the beat of your heart and your mind, you know, and things of that nature. So that's pretty dope. Much the whole inspiration to that song.
Definitely not a Taíno song. You know?
Wow.
Definitely not,
wow,
that one, huh?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Not Taína. She's talking about the crazy, Kiko El Crazy and Larry Ova. The reggaeton video they made, Taína. That's what she's referring to.
Crazy, man. Oh, I couldn't believe it, man.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that song was real. I was like, this has to be like some type of set. Like, no, but I was like, wow, they really did this. Like, they really tried to. Yeah, that was horrendous.
They tried to take us down. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Did you know DJ Santa Corey had a comeback for them?
Yeah, I seen it. I read the lyrics, man. I was like, I was right there with you with that, man.
Oh, cool, man. Yeah, we got to do a collaboration or something. So here we go. Ready? Set, go.
Así que déjeme decirte, así que déjeme mostrarte, otra vez lo que estoy dejando, otra vez el agua no estoy parando. Necesito mucho para la mente, Creo que lo ritmo duro pa' mi gente. Siento que siempre yo tengo suerte. Siento que siempre yo tengo suerte. Ya, ay, ok, pao. Puedo ver quién en eso no mamao. En el corte lo cao, lo cao. Así que vienes como tan, tan, tan. Como chete tú no juega, no juega, no juega, no juega, no juega. De chill. Super siente, soy el único, el único, el único, el único, el único. El único del pueblo de San Bernardino. La cosa es mi isla de Puerto Rico. Sofisticado, soy taíno. Recuperando lo que es mío.
Got my baby out here dancing. He's over here.
I'm dancing at Hito.
Yep.
That's what I'm talking
man,
about.
I appreciate y'all.
Good.
Appreciate the love. Thank
that's
you, guys, for playing that.
There.
Yo, that's dope, man. That's so what's the translation on that? I didn't get a chance to translate it, but.
So I have a I'll send you the link after with the message. I have a I made a translation video on English. It's online too, just in case people wanted to tap in and get a direct translation.
Oh, nice.
But I'll go ahead and I'll read the lyrics to you in English right here. It's basically I'll give you like a breakdown real quick. Hold on, give me a second. I'm gonna give you the line for line version. All right, so basically, I'm gonna just read it. I'll read it very slowly for you guys, just like you know. But it's not that long. It sounds like it's longer in Spanish, just because there's more words or more syllables. But in English, it's less. So the intro is: so let me tell you, so let me show you, again what I'm leaving behind. Another month of routine without stopping. Doom, da doom, da doom, da doom, da doom, da doom. The beat sounds like doom, da doom. So that's just basically da doom is just like the rhythm of the drums. And then it goes, I'm not swerving. No soy virao means like I'm not swerving. I move careful. I'm not swerving. I move careful. And basically what that line means, just real quick before I move forward with the first verse, like, so one of the things I realized, like, you know, when I was kind of telling you guys earlier that, like, you know, my ancestors, I feel like it was like I was being not called out, but, like, you know, I asked them for help. And what I felt like was it was my time to be accountable, you know. So, and I mean, I felt like this meant, like, my personal life, like, with my vices, you know, because I used to drink. I used to smoke a lot of, like, you know, blunts and, like a excessive amount of blunts, like literally, like you'd be like 25 blunts a day, you know, like I was killing my lungs, you know, and it was hard for me to shake those habits, but I did it because I wanted to be clear, you know. Soy virao means like you're virao is like you're swerving, like you're sluggish, you know, from being intoxicated. So when I say no soy virao, it means like I'm clear headed. Like now I'm clear, like, I'm moving careful, you know, like, so that's what that I say that in the song. And then the first verse is, I don't need much for my mind. I think this rhythm goes hard for my people. I feel as if I'm always lucky. I feel as if I'm always strong. Yeah, so what's up? I can see who is the sucker. In the cut, I'm low-key, I'm low-key. And then we come out like so, so, so. With a machete, you don't play. You don't play, you don't play, you don't play. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only one, the only one, the only one, the only one. The only one from the city of San Bernardino to the coast of the island of Puerto Rico. Sophisticated, I'm Taino. I'm taking back what is mine, devils. And, like, I'm just basically, that's like a shot at Columbus, you know, and, like, the basically like the cat, like the church almost low-key. And then it goes back to the chorus. The beat sounds like thum, da thum, da thum, da thum. The beat sounds like thum, da thum. And it goes back to the no soy viral, I'm not swerving. No soy viral, I move careful. Hold on 1 second. Let me pull up the next line here. Okay, so then the second verse goes, good luck to you, brown noser to the tooth, with everything you have. This is the final thought. I'm silent, not a snitch. I'm more like a rock, smooth like a breeze, from the Dino to Louisa. So San Bernardino is like a short version of saying San Bernardino, the city where I was from in California. Louisa is a city here in Puerto Rico. It's like a city on the coast. That's got a really strong, like, African presence there. And then I say dembow, 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 dembow. Shout out to my Taínos, we are dembow. Shout out to my Africans, we are dembow. Everybody forward, don't tell me no. Woy, 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 ascend up with your souls. Ascend up with your flow. Ascend up with your mind, your life, your glow. Shout out to my peoples, we are dembow. And then, yeah, it just basically after that goes back to the, so let me tell you, so let me show you, you know, it goes back to the chorus. But, yeah, that's pretty much like the breakdown of the song, you know what I mean?
Wow. I love it, man. I love it.
I'm feeling pretty empowered, you know? Oh, my goodness.
Appreciate that.
You know, it goes to show too every week.
Thank you for letting me translate too. I appreciate that.
And you know, every week 4-1 has been bringing these great rappers and hip hop stars, and now we got Flavor of the Island. You know, so it's like, damn, we're all one.
Yeah.
That's
the drum beat.
Yeah.
That's the heartbeat. That's the heartbeat of our people.
Oh my gosh, that's like, this is the rhythm,
and
we're found this rhythm.
Mm-hmm. Well, even within the song lyrics, you know, your presence, you know, you called back not only your spirit, but you're also encouraging others to call back their spirit and to remember. You know what I mean? This is us.
Wow,
this is who we are. And, wow, very amazing. Empowering.
Very much so.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's, wow.
Yeah, we got a, I got to think of a dance for this. Nah,
he's telling you, my baby had, well, I wish I could have recorded while we were listening.
Oh, yeah, he's cool, man. Going
on. He had a great one. He came out of his room to come dance.
Oh, he's a great man. He's a
nice,
great judge.
Nice.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, because that's how you know, is when it's the children. When the children move, that's an innocent
right.
spirit. You know
wow.
what I mean? And so who else do you trust? Who's the most honest is our children, our legacy.
Wow.
You know?
That's it. And for he said your favorite word. He said your favorite word. Did you hear it? Did you catch the word he said?
Yeah,
you guys don't
I
know
did.
Each other. You don't know each other. You haven't. It's the first time, right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, it's the first time.
Accountability. You said that word. How many times for when you say?
I heard it clear as day.
It's a confirmation.
It is a confirmation because you know around here. You know, what we're doing is not only calling that spirit back, but how does healing begin? It begins with accountability for the things that we allowed. You know?
Damn.
Not many,
you've been saying this since
not many know to be accountable. Because, you know, you can, you know, past a certain point, you know, there's no blaming nobody else, you know, even in, you know, our adult hurts. Okay, so let's pick up a domestic violence, okay? Let's go there, okay? And that could be between your brother, your sister, your parent, your partner, right? Could even be your neighbor. Within your community, okay? But after that first hurt, you know, why did we stick around? So how much of that accountability, you know, really needs to be taken for remaining? You know, we don't, you know, after some point, we don't have to remain, you know? So we've got to start there. That accountability first. I always suggest picking that spirit up and calling that spirit. You know, if you move or you transfer jobs, don't leave none of that behind. Let's go. You know, hey, Machete, come on.
Yep.
Let's go. We're not there no more. But
we also got
those pieces of us that don't belong to us no more. And some of that we do leave behind because that isn't us no more. You know, so the goal here is to leave as intact as we came, but there are pieces of us that we need to let go. Because if we don't let it go, we can't grow. And we need to remain in that student. And that's the other one, Santa Coy, is when he said, I'm just a student. When he said, I'm just a student. That master stage, you can only master you. Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've got to stay in that studious state. Because growth has to remain every day. You just don't get to a certain age and then you stop growing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. That's not who we are as beings. We're always growing. We're always shifting. We're always trying to, you know, go up and vibrate high.
Yeah. Wow.
You know,
it's harder for
you know, Marshall.
When you're vibrating high.
Damn, that's a great point, student. You know, my martial arts teacher, my Tai Chi teacher, always used to teach us that. In the olden days, right, when the master, right, it reaches the black belt, right? That's what everyone thinks. Once he has the black belt, that's it. You're at an elite level master, right? But actually, it's the white belt because once you receive your black belt, there's many degrees to that. And if you continue practicing, right, developing your art, eventually that black gets faded into white. So you're always a student. You're always, but that's if
always.
You keep practicing. If you keep at it, if you keep doing the work, that black is going to turn white. You're going to lose the dye. So that's the key. So it just reminded me of that.
Absolutely.
A true master has a white belt. So.
Yep.
Damn, man. Man, what a show, man. This is like.
Yeah.
Damn.
Powerful stuff.
I'm not going to front. This is the first time I've ever had any doubt in myself as a co-host, you know?
Wow.
Because I try to do my best to, you know, bring the best of the best and, you know, you are a guest of Mr. Santa Cory's this evening, and I couldn't understand the music, you know. And so I went to Mr. Santa Cory and I said, you know, I don't know about this one. You know what I mean? I said, well, because I'm worried about, you know, not, you know, to hold up my end with him. And Santa Cruz said, oh, no, he's a good one. He's a good one. You'll be able to just, you know. And usually, you know, he tells me, well, you lead and I'll follow. And I got to keep my spot.
That's it, man.
Your spirit, your warrior spirit is just, I don't know, it is just, it's present. And thank you. Thank you for bringing that medicine with you. Because that's what we try to do here on the
Definitely.
Indigenous Power Hub, is bring that medicine mm-hmm. and help our other relatives remember and have
wow.
some self-worth and you know, and feel good about being Indigenous, you know. It's
mm-hmm.
been too long, you know, us walking around not knowing how to identify, not knowing who we are, and not remembering. And, you know, the cells have memory. That all that DNA, you know, that trauma that
yeah.
came along with colonization, so does that strength. So does
That's right.
those, you know, your character, your presence, your, you know, you are all of your ancestors. You are every single one of them up to this point, and you are representing well. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you so much for those words. Honestly, I really appreciate it. Like, that's, you know, I was telling my brother that, you know, right before we, you know, earlier when he called me, I was like, man, it's, you know, this is the first song I dropped this year, and I wanted, because, you know, my past music wasn't, it was always all over the place, you know, like being from the streets, I was always like pressured, you know, like, man, I got to like, not that I ever did anything outside of myself, but you could tell, like, when you listen to my old music, that I still wasn't, I wasn't on that path yet to accountability. Like, I wasn't looking at myself in the mirror and really like being honest with myself. And you can hear that in the music, you know, you can, people are in tune with that, you know, especially people that are spiritual and I didn't know that at the time, but now when I did this song, I just really, I didn't put out a song all year. You know, I was like doing other things and just trying to heal and learn, you know, and being out working the land and doing all these different things. And I was like, man, this is important, man. Like, you know, for myself especially, and also for our people and to hear you say that, like, to hear you say that, because I was just telling my partner the other day, I was like, man, you know, because I have days where, like, I don't second guess it, but I'm like, man, you know, I'm choosing a path that's definitely less traveled, because, I mean, look what happened. They put that Thaina song out. You know, look at, like, how our own people put value to these things that are so important and do empower us, but look at how they're doing it. You know, they're doing native face, you know, to their own stuff, like to their own heritage. And that was something that it didn't shake me, but it made me think, like, damn, man, like, you know, what can I do within myself? Like, you know, I didn't see that video until after the fact, you know, after I made this song and I'd already recorded it, but still, like, I looked at that and I was like, I just got to keep going, you know, like, now I got to keep going. Like, I got to keep making music that's going to resonate with the island, that's going to help our people. And by staying, you know, by staying to that course, the fact that I can that I could even heal anybody in the process is still amazing to me, you know, because those aren't things that I set out, like, I just try to heal. And like my girl always tells me, like, heal people, you know, and I always like, it's not a cliche, it's the truth, you know, and I'm really blown away. I'm humbled, you know, more than anything by your guys' words and by the reception,
yeah,
and especially from somebody who is Indigenous, you know, other Native people and from different areas than me. And it just makes me, it's an honor, you know, it's an honor to have that feedback from you guys, and it's amazing, you know.
Well, music is one of those that we need to claim back. See,
that's it.
Music, music, there is so much healing in it. I mean, that's what we use it for. I mean, we don't use it for stereotypical, you know, because recently, I had discussed that, you know, music has, in all genres, has been dominated with this male dominance. And that's one of the things that we need to claim back, along with the spirit and land and bundles and medicine and community and water and, you know, all of that. Because with that dominance, it doesn't allow the medicine that woman brings in music. And see, we've got to claim that music back, you know, because you can subliminally. So if we're on, you know, if you can alter mind patterns, you know, with it, you know, according to the speed, you know, of you know, that you're, you know, doing the drum at or the repetition of it, you know what I mean? The RPMs, basically, you know. You know, we can't be having those low vibrations. You hear the drum, it's like that. It gets not just the body moving, but it gets the spirit and it gets the thoughts moving. And the faster the repetition, the higher the thinking is.
Wow.
Better the medicine is. You know? And so if you can move, you know, somebody without even speaking a word, better uplift. There's a lot of responsibility doing music. So that's right along that line with accountability. You got responsibility, you know, and Creator gave me this voice. He gives me my thoughts. He gives me my words, you know, and I take him with me. You know, I take Creator with me and ask for those guidances. And, you know, I've been spoken to badly for a long time, and I know a lot of other relatives have too. And not only that, but you know, we will speak to a stranger and offer kindness before we will to our own or even to ourselves.
Wow.
And that's what I've myself have been very mindful of, is speaking to others the way I now speak to myself, you know, because I was speaking in cruel tones and words when I spoke to myself, you know, and so, you know, that's that self-sabotaging behavior, you know, and fear don't live here no more.
Sure.
I want to hear the next song. That's what I want to hear.
Wow.
Put the needle on the record, Jay. Stand up, Corey.
Wait a second. Hold on. You want to put a needle on the record? Are you sure?
I want to hear the next one. I'm woo.
Wait a second, man. I put my crates back. Now I have to get them. I have to get my crates back. Hey, where's the intern? Wait a minute. The intern put my crates back. Show's not over yet.
Put the needle on the record.
Stand up, Paul. J540. The house, my good friends right here, my chete, Indy 4-1, no, can't get any better than that.
Wow. This is great. We You can go all night long. So what song you wanted for one?
Didn't he have another song? Did he have another song?
Oh, no, that's
song?
It. No, that was it for tonight. That was it. That was it.
I thought we had another song.
Oh, wait. I got a song. Wait, before you... Oh, you do? Go ahead. What song is that?
I do. It's my new one.
Oh, I knew it. Machete, you got to listen to this.
Nice. Hell yeah. I'm here.
This is, like I said, this is like a warrior show right here. So you got to hold on to your seat, man. But keep that machete down. Keep it down. Are you going to play it?
Am I or are you?
Hold on a second. Oh, I'll definitely know what it is. The intern went home, so we're on overtime. That's why we're on overtime, but that's all right. I know where the crates are. We got to get your wife next time, okay? In the return show later on in the year, we got to get that done. Okay, here we go. I got it. Let's hear it. The Dear Adam one, right? Indy is the Indy 41 is Dear Adam. Wait, did I lose it?
Dear Adam. Nope, I'm here.
Is that the one?
Dear Adam. Uh huh.
That's
yep.
The one you want, right?
Okay. Yep, the Hate Yourself remix.
All right, hold on. Let me see. Let's hear it. Here we go.
using my culture to spread your lies? I am the granddaughter of the squaw that you killed, and I'm coming back for everything my ancestors were denied. Spirit back, land back, medicine back, bundles back, ceremonies back, values back, language back, community back, culture back. Indigenous will rise, colonizers, choose why.
Damn, that is like...
Damn.
With your head. Love that part.
Hell yeah, damn.
I
was dope.
That's why I told you to put the machete away.
Man, that was hard. That was dope.
Thank you.
You can feel the pain. You can feel the pain, the resistance, and hey, we're not going away.
Facts.
Change is here, and we don't come in peace.
Hmm.
Wow. Dang. Well, that Adam dude, he probably regrets his video, huh? Damn.
Yet to be seen, you know?
Everybody
keeps asking me if he's responded, and I, to be honest, I didn't make this, you know, for his response. I made this to educate his listener.
Mm.
You know, he's got quite a following, and, you know, I never understand patriotism on stolen land. I can't.
Let's highlight that. So, anyone who's listening,
it's
patriotism
on stolen land. How do you have that? So, you know.
This is good stuff. This is good stuff. Well, listen,
we have a guest. Somebody, did he make like a, so he's an artist, you said? This Adam person.
It's Adam Calhoun, yeah. He has a song called Eat Yourself.
Crazy.
And it's very insulting. Very, very insulting. And I don't know. Like I said, you know, you're only rapping because you deliver a hate speech to your youth. You know, Farrakhan, many people don't know, Farrakhan's granddaughter is Ugalala. And her name is Loda Na. And she's always quoting Farrakhan. You know, her grandfather is saying one song, period, is the equivalent to five of his speeches.
Mm.
And it's because of the repetition, you know, that it reaches further. You know, so it, like he said, it takes five of his speeches to, you know, be at the same reach as just one song.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, you know, that's all I wanted to do is, you know, that responsibility is, you know, why is your favorite rapper lying to you? You know what I mean? And take that shit somewhere else.
That's right, man.
You ain't gonna use my culture, you know what I'm saying, to spread them lies. Fuck that. Excuse my language, but, you know. And that's medicine that needs to be delivered that is being impeded with this male dominance, you know. So just trying to get in where I fit in, you know. Do what I'm supposed to do, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually,
you did your thing on that, too. You did your thing on that.
Thank you. You keep doing what you're doing. Please.
United forces. Warriors are uniting. Right?
You're our legacy. You're part of it, you know?
Yeah.
The Guaribos are uniting. You know, I got to, you know, Toa Baja, right? That's where you're living, right? Toa Baja?
Yeah.
Yeah, Toa is a very powerful word. It's like crying out. That's the word. Like when the babies were crying for their mothers, they said, Toa, Toa. Those babies would turn into tree frogs. So that's a powerful Toa,
wow.
You know, calling out, asking for nutrition, asking for, for the breast milk. Toa, Toa. So we got somebody from Toa Baja wants to say something. I want to ask something, okay? Okay, all right. Take it away. Hey, Koki, so how do you like the show today? Man, they're very excited. What are you thought about Machete's song? Man, that was a loud response. How about Indie 4-1 song? What do you thought about that one? That was loud.
Come on.
No, they had to go. They have to go back to their fertility dance there. So this is great.
They're like, we got work to do. Let's go.
So well, we got a few minutes left. So I think we're gonna like to thank all the listeners, man, both live and also downloading the show in the future. Thank you all. Tango Radio does not exist without all of you. You know, Mexico, the great country of Mexico, Mexicaland, they are listening. We get a lot of listeners from Mexico, so that's cool that you got your heritage, Machete, from Mexico. So
yeah.
There you go. We're represented. So any final words? Yeah, we're global, man. Oh, you know, I always forget to mention Ireland and the United Kingdom. They always tune in.
Wow.
Norway and Finland is actually in fifth place, but the Dominican Republic is actually getting really close. So I can't believe it's Finland, right? Like in fourth place. What's going on? There must be Tainos out there, right?
Wow.
Man, Tainos and natives. What about that? So any final words, Machete, before we leave? Did you want to share it?
Just thank you guys once again. Thank you both. Thank you both for having me on this platform and giving me the chance to hang out with you all in here and just, you know, discuss some of these things. I don't really talk about these things often, you know what I mean? Like I don't,
right.
These are things that I kind of just, it's more private in my house. We talk about it, but I don't, you know, I'm vocal on my social media. Like I was telling you prior to this, there's a time and place that I like to really get personal, you know, because it is very personal thing, and it's very serious too. But thank you for giving me this chance to come on here, because it's allowing me the chance to exist in that vulnerability and be present in it, you know, and express it, and it's important, you know, to get that out there. And thank you to the listeners, you know, gracias a todo lo que están escuchando ahora. You guys could follow me. My Instagram is at Machete, MacheteKlat. If you haven't checked out my Instagram, I post my music, and sometimes like I'll do like little freestyle videos or, you know, just my content on there. And then on Facebook as well, Machete Sound is my name on there. And the next time I come on here, I'll talk about comments and the little things that we got in the works, and you know, I'll let my partner know so she could come with me. But mainly just thank you all for listening, and thank you too
for being for gracing me with your presence and letting me, you know, just have a chance to speak about these things. And yeah, respect and love to you all.
Great job, man. You did a great job. Awesome.
Very, yes, and thank you. Pilamia. In Lakota.
NG. Oh,
yes.
Nice.
And right. It means
respect.
Thank you. Gratitude, you know. Thank you. You were a blessing, and you did let that warrior spirit of yours out. And that's all that we require is bringing that good medicine and letting that spirit out, you know, because we're here to heal, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
definitely,
man.
So we got one more song I want to play. So we can wrap up, okay?
Okay?
I'll wrap it up with this one song.
Okay.
And man, this is great. So, thank you all. Next Wednesday, we'll be back. Hold on a second. Oh, I can't find the song. What? Wait, what's going on here? Where's the intern? All right, so this is the final song tonight. What a show. We got 2 hours, man. I can't believe it. Power hour times two. There you go. We got this. So let's go to our beds and let's hear this song.
Así que déjeme decirte, así que déjeme mostrarte otra vez lo que estoy dejando, otra vez el agua no estoy parando. Creo que lo ritmo duro pa' mi gente. Siento que siempre yo tengo suerte. Siento que siempre yo tengo fuerte. Ya, ay, yo que pao. Puedo ver quién en eso no me mao. En el fuerte lo cao. Así que vienes como tan, tan, tan. Como chete tú no juegas, no juegas, no juegas, no juegas, no juegas. De chill. Suficiente, soy el único, el único, el único, el único, el único, el único de pueblo de San Bernardino. La cosa es de isla de Puerto Rico. Sofisticado, soy taíno. Recuperando. Lo que es mío, au, 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 el ritmo suena como don, tetón, 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 el ritmo suena como don, tetón, 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 el ritmo suena como, no soy virao, no muevo cuidado, con tirao, no muevo cuidado, fuente del suerte lambón. Últimamente cayó, no soy chotazo como un roca suave como brisa de don uno huiza de mbow. Dembow, dembow, dembow. Mita la lata y no nos ata de mbow. Mita la africana, no soto de mbow. Todo está para adelante, no dice de que no. Yo, 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 ascendé con el solo, ascendé con mi flow. Ascendé a su vida, su mente tu blow. Grito por mi corro, no soto de mbow. Déjame decirte, así que déjame mostrarte otra vez lo que estoy dejando. Otra vez la fusión estoy parando. Tum, 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 tum. Uno ritmo suena como tum, 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 tum. Uno muerto suena como. No soy virao, no muevo cuidado. No soy virao, no muevo cuidado. Diablo.